Sitaram, Sitaram, Jaya Sitaram. Sitaram, 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 Jaya Sitaram. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, Patita Pavana Sitaram. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, Patita Pavana Sitaram. Sitaram, 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 Jaya Sitaram. Sitaram, 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 Jaya Sitaram. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, Patita Pavana Sitaram. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram, Patita Pavana Sitaram. Sitaram, 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 Jaya Sitaram. Sitaram, 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 Jaya Lakshman Hanuman.
Premananda Haribo. So tonight I want to speak a little bit about the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. But first we'll chant a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya. Glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Yada yada, whenever and wherever, he certainly dharmasya, of religion. Glanihi, discrepancies. Bhavati, become manifested. Bharata, O descendant of Bharata. Abhyutana, predominance. Adharmasya, of irreligion. Tada, at that time. Atmana, self. Srijami, manifest. Aham, I. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Please repeat. Whenever and wherever There is a decline in religious practice. O descendant of Bharata. And a predominant rise of irreligion. At that time, I descend myself. And I'll read a little bit of Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Srijami is significant herewith. Srijami cannot be used in the sense of creation. Jai Shushi Rukmini Dwarkadish. Jai Shushi Gornitai. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Sitaram Ki Jai. Srijami cannot be used in the sense of creation because according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body since all of the forms are eternally existent. Therefore, Srijami means that the Lord manifests himself as he is. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the topic is the forms of the Lord. And tonight we're specifically speaking about the form of Lord Ramachandra. Of course, we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam that the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Sri Krishna. He is the original form of God. But from his form come many other forms. It's like if you have many candles, one candle may be the first candle, and from that candle you can light many other candles, which are of similar power, but still there's one original candle. So Krishna is like that original candle. And then from him come many other forms of God. There's one devotee scholar who's a professor now at a university, Garuda Prabhu, Dr. Graham Schweig, who came up with this term, monotheistic polymorphism. That means there's one God, but this one God can manifest himself in many different forms. But among those forms, one form is the original. That's Krishna. Now, among these many forms that Krishna manifests, there are 10 principal ones. They're called the Das Avatars, the 10 principal appearances of the Supreme Lord. And Lord Ramachandra is one of those 10 principal avatars. He appeared in Ayodhya in northern India today. And we may ask when he appeared. We learn that he appeared in a Treta Yuga. So now we're in the first part of the Kali Yuga. And then before that, there was about 800,000 years of the Dwapar Yuga. And before that, there was a Treta Yuga. So it's over 800,000 years ago, maybe over a million years ago. But we learn from Rupa Goswami in his book Laghu Bhagavatamrita that actually he says, the pastimes of Lord Ram took place not in this Treta Yuga, just prior to our Kali Yuga, but in a previous Treta Yuga. Like there's a bigger cycle of Vedic time called Manvantara period, which is made up of 71 of these Divya Yugas, cycles of four yugas. And we're now in the 28th Yuga cycle. We're in the Kali Yuga of the 28th Yuga cycle. But according to Rupa Goswami, the pastimes of Lord Ram took place in the Treta Yuga of the 24th Yuga cycle, which would be four Yuga cycles ago. So that would be, since they're about 4 million years per Yuga cycle, it's maybe over 16, 18 million years ago that the pastimes of Lord Ram took place on Earth. So, the information I'm presenting this evening comes from the Valmiki Ramayana. the great sage Valmiki wrote down the Ramayana many, many, many years ago. But we still can take advantage of it today. And we learn that today, in a Treta Yuga, long, long ago, Lord Ramachandra took birth. Now, he was the son of a king named Dasarat by his wife Kaushalya. And this king Dasarat, he had four sons by three wives. This is Lord Ramachandra and Kaushalya. And then he had another son, Bharata, by another queen, Kaikeyi. And then he had two other sons, Lakshman and Shatrughna, by another queen, Sumitra. Now, among all these, among his brothers, Ramachandra was very close to Lakshman. And when they were still boys, a sage named Vishvamrita came to the palace in Ayodhya and asked the king, Dasharat, if he could have these two boys go and kill some demons that were causing disturbances to the sages who were living in the forest. So Dasharat agreed to let them go, and they went with Vishvamrita, and they killed, you know, many demons in the forest, even though there were still boys at that time. So this was very pleasing to Vishvamrita, so he became very much obliged to them, and they became more or less his disciples. And he told Ram that there was a girl named Sita, who was the daughter of King Janaka, who had found her in an interesting way. She was found while he was plowing a field, and you can see her there. She was found on a lotus flower that came out of the ground at that time. So, of course, she wasn't just any ordinary girl. She's an incarnation of the pleasure potency of the personality of Godhead. She's a goddess of fortune. Ultimately, an expansion of Srimati Radharani herself. And she was looking for a husband. Her father, King Janaka, wanted to find a husband for her. So, as was typical with the Kshatriyas, he arranged a test. So he had a bow that had been given to him by Lord Shiva, a very powerful bow. He said, only the prince who can string this very powerful bow is qualified to marry my daughter. So many great princes and kings tried to do it, but they all failed. But Ram came, and he was able to not only string the bow, but when he strung it, it actually broke with a loud cracking noise, thus demonstrating his great power. Of course, those who knew what the real truth was understood he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just some ordinary prince. So then Sita and Ram were married. You know, she chose him as her husband. You can see here she's about ready to put the garland on Ram. So she married him by her own choice, Swayamvara. And they had a very nice wedding celebration. And then, as was the custom, she went to live with her husband in her husband's home. So they lived in the palace there in Ayodhya for some time. And then King Dasharat decided to name Ram the king. He wanted to install him as king. And, yeah, this came to the attention of one of the maidservants of one of the other queens. This maidservant was named Mantara. And she was very upset by this. So she went and told Kaikeyi, the mother of Bharata, that this was going to happen. And Kaikeyi was actually quite happy because she loved Ram. She thought, oh, that's really wonderful. But this Mantara, she had a bit of an envious mentality. So she started to work on her and explained to her, well, if it's so wonderful, you should just consider this. Most likely, he will kill your son Bharata just to make sure, you know, that he doesn't challenge his position as king. So in this way, she started whispering things into Kaikeyi's ear, and she began to take it seriously, although she didn't take it seriously at first. So then she asked, well, what can I do? And Mantara reminded her that long ago, she had done some special service for the king, for King Dasharatha. And in exchange for those special services, the king had granted her the right to ask anything she wished. She could request any boon she wanted. So, he had given her two boons that she could request. So she decided to cash in on her boons. She went to the king and she said, now I'm going to ask you for the things that you said I could ask. So the king, being a good Kshatriya who was always true to his word, said, okay, then you ask. And she asked for two things. One, that Ram be sent into exile for 14 years. And two, that her own son, Bharata, you know, be named the king. So Dasharatha was heartbroken to hear this, but there was nothing that he could do because he had given his word as a Kshatriya and he had to do it. So on the very day of the coronation, the day the coronation was to take place, you know, he summoned his son, Ram, and explained to him that now you're going to have to go into exile. And Ram, being a good son that he was, he accepted it without question because it was his father's order, his father's desire. Of course, everyone in the palace was just heartbroken that this was going to happen. And Ram went to his wife Sita and explained what was going to happen. And she said she would go with him because it was the duty of the wife, you know, to go with the husband. And Lakshman, at first he tried to persuade Ram, no, this isn't right. You shouldn't go along with this. You should stand up for your rights. But then Ram said, no, I can't do that. This is the desire of my father. I must follow the desire of my father. So Lakshman decided he would also go into exile with Ram. So this painting shows Sita, Lakshman, and Ram saying goodbye to King Dasharatha as they were going out into the forest. So they went away from Ayodhya. But Bharata followed them. He went to search them out because he didn't want to be king, especially not in this way. So he went out into and he begged Ram. He found him and he begged him, please come back. You be the king. I don't want to be the king. So Ram told him, no, I can't do that because our father has asked me to go into exile and he's asked you to be king. So that's what should be done. So Bharat said, well, if you won't come back, then I'm going to take your shoes and I'm going to worship them there until you come back in 14 years. And then when, as soon as you come back, you are going to be the king. So then, you know, they proceeded. They went across the Ganges River, and they kept heading south. And they went into the Dandakaranya, the Dandaka Forest, the Chitrakoot Mountains. And they were there for years. And actually, they were actually having a good time living a simple life in the forest. They visited the ashrams of different sages like Bharadraj, Atri, and others. And life went on in this way for some time with them. Then one day, the daughter of the demon Ravana, the great demon Ravana, named Suparnika, came. Because she had heard, you know, that Rama was there, and she had a big crush on Ram. So she went there. But Ram told her, no, I can't satisfy you. You approach Lakshman, my brother. So when she did that, Lakshman cut off her nose. And she was horrified, and she ran back to her father, Ravana, and cried and cried and cried. So Ravana then sent 14,000, he sent an army of 14,000 demons to get them. But Lord Ram killed all of them, you know, while, you know, Lakshman was watching over Sita. Lord Ram killed 13,999 of them. He left one alive. So the one demon that was left, you know, went back to Lanka and reported what had happened to Ravana. But he also told them, Ravana, there's this Ram's wife, Sita, is very, very beautiful, just perfect for you. Because Ravana had a habit of going after any woman he could get his hands on. Of course, because of that, he had been cursed. He had been cursed that because you've attacked so many women in this way, if you ever do that again, if you ever force a woman to submit to you again, you will die, you know, immediately. So somehow or other, he had to find some way to get Sita to willingly submit to him. But first of all, he had to get her to Lanka. So he came up with a scheme. There was a mystic demon named Maricha who was part of his entourage. So they came up with a plan that this demon Maricha would take the form of a golden deer and would go out to the forest near the hermitage of Sita and Ram, because they knew Sita, you know, being a woman, would be attracted by this interesting golden deer, and that she would ask Lakshman and Ram to go get it for her. And then, while they were gone, that would be the opportunity for Ravana to kidnap Sita. So they executed this plan, and sure enough, when Sita saw the golden deer, which was actually, you know, the demon Maricha, she became attracted and said, "Oh, I want it. I must have this deer for my pet." So she asked Ram and Lakshman to go get it for her. Ram, of course, he was a little suspicious. He thought, something's got to be wrong here. So he said, "Okay, I'll go. I'll go after the deer, but you stay with Lakshman." And he told Lakshman, "Don't you leave. Whatever happens, whatever you see, whatever you hear, do not leave Sita." So Ram went after the deer, and he caught up with it. And he, understanding that it was a demon, he killed it. He shot the deer with one of his arrows. And while the demon was dying, in his last breath, he decided to pull some trick. So he shouted out loudly with Ram's voice, "Oh, Lakshman, come,
help me.
So back with Sita, the sound was heard by them. And Sita said, Lakshman, go, Ram's calling you. He said, no, Ram told me, don't leave, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear. Still, she said, no, you go. And actually she said, I think the reason you're staying is you want to enjoy me, even though I'm your brother's wife. So he couldn't stand that. He could not stand that at all. So he said, all right, I'm going. But I'm going to make a magic circle around you. And you stay there. You don't go outside that circle. So then he left. And then, taking the chance, then Ravana came. And he lured Sita outside the circle. And he captured her. And then he began to take her away. But there was a very saintly bird. Of course, these birds in Vedic times, not like birds today. Yeah, they're very intelligent, very brave. They could speak, they could talk. So the bird, Jatayu, tried to stop Ravana from taking Sita. But Ravana attacked him, wounded him very, very severely, and then fled with Sita to Lanka. So when Ram and Lakshman came back from the forest, they saw Sita was gone, and they began hunting for her everywhere. They knew there was something was wrong. Something very, very bad had happened. And finally they found Jatayu. And from Jatayu they learned what had happened, that this big 10-headed demon, Ravana, had stolen Sita, taken her away. So they performed a little funeral ceremony for Jatayu, and he got liberation at that time. So you can see the body of Jatayu here, and he's getting liberation. So now they knew that she'd been kidnapped. So they began searching everywhere for Sita. And while they were searching through the forest, they came upon Hanuman. And Hanuman told them, well, maybe King Sugriva, the monkey king, can help you find her. So Lakshman and Ram, they went with Hanuman and they met the monkey king Sugriva. He said, yes, I think I can help you, but first there's something I'd like you to do for me. Because he'd been persecuted and attacked by his brother, King, another monkey king, Vali, who had driven him away from his kingdom. So he said, you help me take care of this Vali, and I'll help you. So Ram agreed. He killed Vali. And then after that, Sugriva sent out all of his monkey soldiers to look for Sita. And especially he sent Hanuman. So Hanuman, he wasn't, even among these monkey soldiers, he wasn't very ordinary. Actually, he was a son of the wind god, Vayu. So he had powers. He could fly anywhere he wanted by his own mystic powers. So he learned that Sita was on Lanka, which is an island, and he flew there. So Sita was being kept beneath an Ashoka tree, And Ravan was constantly coming to her. Now, you have to remember, there was this curse that he couldn't forcibly take her. She had to agree. So he was always coming and promising, "You will be my queen. You will be wealthy beyond all imagination. You will be powerful beyond all imagination." But, of course, being the chaste wife of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she refused all of his advances. Even when he threatened her with all kinds of harm. So we can see Sita with all the monstrous demon ladies who are watching over her at every second. So somehow or other, you know, Hanuman had found out where she was, and he called down to her from this tree in a soft voice, saying, "Yes, Ram has sent me. Ram has sent me." So Sita thought, well, this could just be another trick of Ravana. So how do I know you're actually a messenger from Ram? So Ram had given him a little ring. So he showed her the ring, gave her the ring, and thus she knew, yes, that Ram was trying to find her and was going to rescue her ultimately. So after establishing contact with Sita, Hanuman decided he was going to cause some trouble. So he started running all through the whole garden, ripping down all the trees, all the Ashoka trees, except the one that Sita was sitting under. And of course, this drew the attention of the demon soldiers of Ravana, and there's a huge fight. So, Hanuman, he was fighting all these demon soldiers, but finally they overwhelmed him and they captured him and they took him before Ravana. And even then, yeah, he was very disrespectful to Ravana. So Ravana said, "Okay, set his tail on fire. We'll teach this monkey, you know, to come here and cause disturbances." So they set Hanuman's tail on fire. And then he escaped and he ran all over the city with his burning tail, setting the city on fire, and then fled, went back to Sugriva and Ram and told them what the whole situation was. So now that they knew where Sita actually was, because the location had been hidden. They hadn't actually known where she was. So now the planning to invade Lanka began in earnest. But they had to figure out how to get there, because Lanka was 100 yojanas away. It's about 800 miles over the ocean. So they had to find some way to cross this ocean. And Ram was on the seashore. And he was just glaring at the ocean, because the ocean wasn't being cooperative. The sea god, Samudra, he wasn't being very cooperative. So Ram, you know, he glared at the ocean. The glare caused the ocean waters to become very, very hot, start to boil. And all the creatures in the ocean became very perturbed. And finally, the ocean god himself came before Ram and begged forgiveness. And he gave Ram a little clue how this could be done. He advised, "Yes, you have these monkey soldiers. Bring huge stones, and I'll allow them to float on my surface." So the monkey soldiers, they brought huge stones, and they floated on the water, ultimately by Ram's power. Because ultimately, no one has any power except from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the monkey soldiers, they put more and more of these huge stones there. and they floated on the water, forming a big bridge. And then Lord Ram and Hanuman and Sugriva and the monkey soldiers, they began marching over that floating bridge of stones to Lanka. And when they got there, there was a big battle, you know, between Lord Ram, Lakshman, and the monkey soldiers, and Hanuman, and the soldiers of Ravana, the demon soldiers of Ravana. And during the fighting, Lakshman, Lord Ram's brother, was wounded. And there was only one way that he could be saved. That if somehow or other, some medicinal herbs from the Gandhamadana mountain, far, far away, could be brought immediately. So, Hanuman, you know, he immediately flew away to this mountain. And actually, he brought back, because he didn't know exactly which plants to bring back, so he brought back the whole mountaintop. And it's a very famous painting of Hanuman that you see all over India, Hanuman carrying, you know, the top of the mountain with all the medicinal herbs. In this way, Lakshman was revived. And then, you know, the battle continued. And the culmination of the battle was when Lord Ram used a Brahmastra arrow to kill this demon Ravana, who had kidnapped Sita. So after the victory, and after Ram was reunited with Sita, there was still a question, because in the Vedic culture was very, very strict. You know, a woman who was living with a man other than her husband would come under suspicion from the general public. They would wonder, oh, what's this? So, of course, Sita's very chaste. She hadn't surrendered the least bit to Ravana. But to prove it to the general public, she went into the fire. And, you know, she remained untouched, you know, by this fire, thus proving her chastity. Of course, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn that actually it wasn't the real Sita that Ravana had kidnapped. Actually, it was a Maya Sita, not the real Sita. So he'd never had any contact with the real Sita at all, you know, according to Lord Chaitanya. What had happened when she had gone into this fire is the Maya Sita went into the fire and the real Sita came out. So then, after passing this test, Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, they went in a Vimana, a flower airplane, back to Ayodhya. And when Ram came back to Ayodhya, he was greeted by his brother Bharata, who had been worshiping his shoes for those 14 years. And immediately, you know, he fell down at the feet of his brother Ram, and Ram was again, he was crowned, you know, king of Ayodhya with Sita, you know, as his queen. Sitaram ki jai. Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So, what lessons can we draw, you know, from this account? When I was, you know, looking for images on the web, I came across this Ramayan luxury retreat in Thailand. And they have three kinds of suites there. They have the Ram suites, the Hanuman suites, and the Ravana suites. So we want to see what kind of lesson you've learned from all this. Yeah, what suite are we not going to take if we go there? We're not going to take, well, first of all, we're not going to take the Ram suite because we're not going to put ourselves on the same level as the personality of Godhead. So that's one thing. We're not going to, if I ever happened to go there, I would definitely not take the Ram suite. Because the position of the devotee is das, das, anu das, servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. You know, devotee is never going to take the same position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, I don't think we would want to take the Ravana suite either. Because neither do we want to be material enjoyers, trying to have the kingdom of God without God. And that was his big mistake, Ravana. He tried to take the Lord's energy, his pleasure potency, and use it for his own selfish purposes. And therefore, he and his whole kingdom were destroyed. And we actually see that happening today. You know, there's so many politicians, leaders in the world who are misleading their people. They're taking them down the road of Ravana by trying to enjoy the Lord's energy independently, separately. So if we were to take a suite, we would want to take the Hanuman suite. Because Hanuman gives the perfect example of pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. There's one instance where Hanuman was saying that, yes, he was seeing Sita and Ram everywhere, including his own heart. And there were some skeptical people who didn't believe him. So he opened his heart and showed, yes, there's Sita and Ram eternally in his heart. So Krishna says this. He says, the devotees always have me in their heart. And I also have my devotees in my heart. So this is the lesson I think we want to draw from the pastimes of Lord Ram, that we always want to keep the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our heart, in a mood of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be always willing to take all risk in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Jai Shri Ram! Thank you. So now there'll be arti, and after that, transcendental prasadam feast. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sitaram, Sitaram.